Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Living Hope. I'm Pastor Judy. I'm the associate pastor here, and we are so glad to have you here this morning. Before we get started, I would love for us to greet each other with a greeting that Christians have been using for a long time. The Lord be with you. Thank you so much. I would ask that you join me in prayer, if you would. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this day, for this moment, these few moments that we have together, that we can be in your house, invited here by you, that we can spend these moments in your presence, hearing from you. Lord, I pray that everything that is said and done this morning, whether it's singing, praying, or spoken word, Lord, whatever it is, that it would honor and glorify you. And for all of this, we pray in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, we would invite you to join us to continue worshiping in song. You can do that by sitting or standing, whatever you're comfortable with, but we invite you to join us.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there, fathers online.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all its stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen. Who can wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years and tell the past to disappear? Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that he would go and undo if you could. Who can work it out for good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about Jesus, and let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah, 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 amen, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change Like Courtney said, happy Father's Day to fathers, the single moms acting like fathers, those who are grieving their fathers today, those who have a strained relationship with their fathers, just in general, I just want to thank all of you for the impact that you have in a child's life.
And of course, our Heavenly Father, which we all share.
Yeah. Dead of night.
Like ending it on our love for the Father, less about me and more about the Father. Okay. We're not gonna feed back.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created. Bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go, and I see it now. I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. I run to the Father. Your son for redemption, the price for mine. And I don't have a conscience for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is
Father, how awesome is it, Lord, that in our imperfect lives, that we can keep just running back to you, Lord. Your mercy and grace has always been more than efficient. Lord, we thank you so much for that opportunity, Lord, that we have that, like I said, Lord, in our imperfection, to just be able to run back to you, Lord. How wonderful that is, Father. Because I know, Lord, that in my life, I've messed up so much, Lord. And you just always said, I love you, come back. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just pray over everyone here, Lord, that that they would feel that even in their imperfection, to just keep running back to Christ no matter what, to just keep running back. We thank you so much, Lord. Father, we pray over Pastor Judy today as she brings us the word, Lord, that you would just speak through her, Lord, and you would let her words that she preaches just resonate in our hearts today, Father. Just speak to us, Lord, and just embrace all of us here, Lord. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be with you. May we pass the peace.
Well, as we are starting to find our way back to our seats, we do have a few things that we need to let you know about. One of those things is if you need to get a hold of one of the pastors or the church office for some reason, you have a prayer request or just something that you need to let us know about, you can do so a couple of different ways. One, we have some green cards on the table in the back of the room. You can fill that out and drop it in the offering box. Or you can go to livinghope.info/connect. And if you're giving this morning, again, I will say thank you so much. It's your generosity that keeps us able to do the things that we do in the community and within this little family that we have here. And you can do that a couple of ways. There's an envelope in the back again. You can fill that out, put your offering in, drop it in the box. Or you can go to livinghope.info/give. We do have a couple of announcements to let you know about, a couple things. First is our next free bikes is this coming Saturday, the 27th of June. Free bikes and tune-ups from 9 to 11 out here in the parking lot. If you have a bike that you're not using and you want it, you don't know what to do with it, you can bring it and donate it. If you need a bike, you can come and get one for free. So the other thing is God's Garden Valpo is going to have free food every Sunday at 4 p.m. here at Living Hope. So if you know someone or are someone who's in or just would like to have a meal with some folks, you're welcome to be back here at 4 o'clock for that. And then Pastor Rich has shared a few times about Zach Lampton, who's going to NYC. NYC stands for Nazarene Youth Conference, one of the two. Anyway, it's a big national gathering of Nazarene teenagers, and it's a conference. There's speakers and there's bands, and it's a lot of fun. I went when I was in high school. Ours was World Youth Congress, and so we went to Mexico. And it was one of those pivotal points in my life spiritually. And I still look back at it, and I still remember the way God talked to me and dealt with me as a teenager at WYC. And now it's NYC, and Zach has the opportunity to be there. But he also, they started doing something different with NYC several years ago, where instead of just going and being entertained and being spoken to and stuff, they do a service project in the city that they're holding the conference in. And so one of the things that they're asking is that each kid bring items that they can make into something similar to the crisis care kits that we've done here. There's a list of things out in the lobby that they need. There's also some buckets that if you have already bought the items, you can drop them off. They are supposed to be turned in today, but if you swing by tomorrow or whatever, I'm sure it will be fine. But take a look at that. They're going to be in Salt Lake City, Utah, shortly. So, and speaking of Zach, if you could keep his mom, Peggy. Peggy sings with us up here, and you know, she's Zach's mom and MJ's mom, and she's in the hospital this morning. So they're monitoring her, but you know, if we could just kind of keep that in mind. But yeah, if we could just keep that in mind. And so before we get started, first, and we're going to pray, but I just need to acknowledge today is Father's Day, and we are very thankful for the good fathers that we've had in our lives, the godly fathers that have done their best to raise us well and to teach us how to love and serve. And then we also, though, need to acknowledge that some of us had earthly fathers that were not so great. And some of them caused hurt and woundings in our lives. But I also need to acknowledge that no matter how good or not good our earthly fathers were, like Courtney said, we have a perfect heavenly Father who loves us, that we can run to no matter what we've done or not done. And he is there waiting with open arms for us. So let's go ahead and we will just take a moment to pause in prayer. Lord, we do thank you this morning. We thank you for fathers, for the good fathers who have followed you and obeyed you and taught us so much, Lord. But we also know that this morning some of us are conflicted about Father's Day. So, Lord, I pray that you would be with each and every person on this day that we commemorate. And then, Lord, I pray that you will be in this service. Be with the words that are spoken, with the songs that remain to be sung, Lord, with the table that you've invited us to, Father. Let us have ears to hear and hearts that listen. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, this morning, it's kind of funny because it seems to happen, and I know it's the Holy Spirit, but Missy picked a song, the last song, it's about laying down your burdens, which we're going to talk about a little bit today, because we all carry wounds, not just from our dads, but we carry wounds, and some of those wounds are visible, and some are not. Some wounds are physical. Some of the wounds we carry are emotional or relational or some even spiritual. Some of us have diagnoses that we never would have expected, and some of us live with chronic pain that we're not sure where it comes from. Maybe we're recovering from surgery or caring for loved ones that are failing. And others carry deep wounds that we just cannot see, and yet they're just as real as the ones that we do see. But whatever form they take, our wounds remind us that we live in a broken world that longs for restoration. I know I've talked about it before, about the mission of God, right? The Missio Dei, which is to redeem and restore the world back to what God originally intended when he created. And the good news of the gospel is that God meets us in our brokenness and is at work bringing healing and wholeness and reconciliation. In the Psalms, we find encouragement for the times that we're hurting or broken. Psalm 147, 1-4 says this. It says, "Praise the Lord. How good to sing praises to our God. How delightful and how fitting. The Lord is rebuilding Jerusalem and bringing the exiles back to Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He counts the stars and calls them all by name." Now, at first glance, this psalm, it might feel a little celebratory. I had to work on that one this morning. But it was written for God's people who had been in exile. Am I the only person here that's ever felt like they've been in exile? No? Oh, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. This psalm praises God for bringing the exiles back to Israel, but then it also assures that he's going to heal the brokenhearted and he'll bandage their wounds. Now, when we talk about the brokenhearted, it's easy to think of certain hidden wounds such as grief, emotional pain, relationship struggles, anxiety and fear, even spiritual weariness. Those are all brokenheartedness and all part of that. But none of these invisible wounds, and they are often invisible, none of them are hidden from God. When we're hurting, it's easy to feel alone and even abandoned by God. But the good thing is he sees and he knows the hurts. He knows the places where life or other people have caused us pain. And he hurts right along with us. God sees every struggle, every limitation, every sleepless night. But then he heals those places where our hearts are broken and bandages our wounds. Jesus also invites us into healing through rest. You know, I think Pastor Rich preached about Sabbath, didn't he? I've heard it. Does anybody remember? Was it Pastor Rich? Yes, thank you. I've slept since then, so, you know, I can't remember details. Anyway, but in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, he shares these words. It says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.'" We all carry burdens. Everyone. Some are lighter than others. Some are heavier or lighter depending on the circumstances that we find ourselves in, but they are still burdens we carry nonetheless. Some may be carrying grief. Grief can be a heavy burden. Some carry the burden of shame, and maybe someone's carrying the exhaustion of caring for a sick family member or an illness that they are experiencing themselves. Regardless whether the burden is physical, emotional, or spiritual, Jesus gives us the gift of rest. Not the kind of rest that comes when we stop moving and lay down at night, which that's good for us. Going to sleep and restoring our bodies is good. But the rest that he gives is a true rest that renews us body and soul. The kind of rest we can have when we let go of our burdens and let God carry them for us. Well, when we talk about heavy burdens and visible and invisible wounds, of course, the logical next thing is to talk about healing. When we turn to Jesus for healing, we come to him with our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our relationships, and our souls that are in need of a healing touch from him. But often we think about healing as the alleviation of pain. With God, though, that healing is so much more than just alleviating pain. It's about wholeness and restoration. See, he desires to restore every part of our lives, our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our relationships, our spirits. And his restoring power is at work to bring wholeness in all of these parts of our lives. Maybe you haven't given much thought to healing, or to praying and asking God to heal whatever wounds that you carry. Maybe you've given it a lot of thought and a lot of prayer, and you're afraid God isn't hearing you. But when we look at Scripture, we see story after story after story of people being healed. The cripple, the blind man, the leper, the demon-possessed, the bleeding woman, Peter's mother-in-law, even Lazarus was healed, right? But Jesus didn't just heal the physical needs, he freed the oppressed. And we see this in the woman, just as an example, that was caught in adultery. See, the system oppressed her. And when Jesus asked if anybody was here is without sin, let them cast the first stone, and then told her, "Now go and sin no more," he was freeing her from the oppression that she had been living in. And then he forgives sins, he comforts the grieving, and his desire from the beginning was and is wholeness. And it's likely that many, if not all of us here, have a story of someone we know, or even ourselves, being healed. And I'd like to share one that's kind of near and dear to my heart. This is a little bit testimony. There's going to be a couple spots here that's a little bit testimony. I appreciated John sharing his testimony last week. It was awesome. But I have a nephew named Hayden. Hayden is the third of my brother's kids. And when he was born, he was failure to thrive. He would throw up everything that he ate, starting with breast milk and then going to formula, and then to a goat's milk formula, and then to a synthetic formula. He couldn't keep anything down. And at 5 months old, he'd only gained like 1 or 2 pounds. By 5 months, they should have gained significant weight as babies, but he'd only gained 1 or 2 pounds. They had taken him to hospitals locally. They finally took him to the hospital in Chicago. I think it was Lurie's. I'm not sure. It's been a few years since that happened. So the doctors there, they did all kinds of testing, genetic testing. They put him on medicines to try and keep him from throwing up, you know, different medications, and nothing worked. Nothing would work. They finally told my brother and sister-in-law, we don't know what to do. We've tried everything we know. Take him home and spend as much time with him, because we have no idea what's going to happen. That was it. So that next Sunday, they came to church. We all attended the same church at the time. And he took what the doctor said about spending time with his son seriously, because he wasn't even going to put this baby in the nursery at church. He took him up into the choir loft with him. But as he was walking into church, one of the ladies there, who's gone home to be with Jesus now, she stopped him and said, Richard, that's my brother's name, by the way. So, Richard, you need to have Hayden anointed this morning. And my brother's like, okay, all right. And then he got into church and was walking back to the choir loft, and another lady stopped him and said, Richard, I really think you need to have Hayden anointed this morning. And he's like, okay, now that's weird that two people have said that to me. And then he saw our mom there at the church, and my mom said to him, Richard, I think the Holy Spirit's telling me to tell you to have Hayden anointed this morning. Now, my brother might be a little thick, but he's not that dumb. And so he's like, okay, fine, I will. 3 times is enough. So he talked to the pastor that morning, and he said, during the pastoral prayer, can we bring Hayden to the altar? Because we had these prayer benches in the front. So can we bring Hayden down, and can we anoint him and pray for him for healing? Pastor said, absolutely, absolutely. So that morning, and here's my brother. This is when they used to wear choir robes in choir. He's up in the choir with his choir robe on, and here's this 5-month-old baby up there with him. And it came to the pastoral prayer time, and the pastor called the family forward, called my brother and his wife, my sister-in-law, and they literally laid Hayden on that prayer bench on that altar. And the church gathered around, and they anointed Hayden and prayed for him, prayed for his healing, prayed for God's will to be done in Hayden. After church, my brother and sister-in-law went to the Chinese buffet that was right around the corner from the church. And they were sitting there eating and just kind of sitting in that sorrow of not knowing what's going to happen to their baby. And suddenly Hayden reached over and tried to grab a skewer of chicken. And my sister-in-law, she's like, don't give that to him. He can't have that. Kid had no teeth in his mouth yet. He wasn't even big enough to have teeth. And my brother said to her, what does it matter at this point? At this point, who cares what we give him to eat? He's not going to keep it down anyway. So let him have it. That 5-month-old baby took that skewer of chicken and ate the whole thing. And then took 3 more and ate those. And that he started eating that afternoon after church, and he hasn't stopped. He's 28 years old now, married with a little boy and expecting a little girl soon, September, I think, don't quote me. But, you know, he's thriving, and he grew, and he became this beautiful young man. Through no cause of the doctors, they had no idea. It was because of the prayers of the people and according to God's will. that Hayden was healed in that moment. And this is just one example of many that I'm sure we could all share this morning. But healing is more than physical, like I said. Sometimes it's relational. Some of the deepest woundings that we can carry are brought on by broken relationships. We see it in the story that we know of as the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. And it says, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. After a few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all of his money on wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, you know, at home, even the hired servants have food and food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I'll go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. I love that line. So the party began. Now, I was always taught that this story is about how God welcomes back the sinner when they've walked away from faith. And it is a story of God welcoming back the sinner. But it's also a story about broken and restored relationship. See, the son broke the relationship with his father when he asked for his portion of the inheritance. Because in essence, he was telling his father that you're dead to me. I wish you were dead so I could have your inheritance. So just give it to me. And so his dad gave it to him. And then he took the money and he wasted it foolishly. He didn't capitalize it or grow it with wise investments or hard work. No, he just wasted it. He spent every last penny of it and had less than nothing to show for it. Yet when he returned to his father was waiting for him, watching for him, fully prepared to restore their relationship. So maybe you don't need physical healing today, but instead you need this kind of relational healing. And just to, this is, again, part testimony, so bear with me, but another quick story that's personal to me. I've shared in the past that my parents were divorced, and I was raised by a single mom, and my dad left when I was quite young and was not really around much growing up. Our relationship had been broken by choices that he made, and I struggled for years with forgiving my dad. I wanted to. I really did. And just when I thought I had, there would be a new hurt that would happen, and it would set me back to the beginning of the process over and over again. In 1993, our family experienced a tragedy that I don't wish on my worst enemy. We lost my youngest sister in an accident. And we were utterly brokenhearted, but we believed that God would bring healing over time. Now, during my sister's visitation, I was standing in the foyer of the funeral home looking into the chapel. And we were surrounded by family and friends, church folks, co-workers, people from the community that knew us that had come to pay their respects and offer condolences. Our family was so wonderfully and graciously supported. And there sat my dad with his wife at the time. It's been a few. But his wife at the time, alone, just the two of them. Because no one knew who he was. They didn't know why he was there, so they didn't interact with him. And I remember standing there, and when I say I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. It wasn't like an audible voice. It was just kind of that the thoughts that I knew that it was God talking to me. But as I stood there and looked in, I could feel God kind of move up along beside me over my right shoulder and say, "You know I love him, right?" "Yeah, of course." "Duh." "You know he's broken, right?" "Well, obviously." "And you know I died for him, right?" "Right." He says to me, "You know, problem is you hold it against him because of your dad." "Excuse me, what?" These are the kind of conversations I have with God. "Excuse me?" He said, "If he was any other man on the planet who, with the same issues, the same behaviors, the same history, and he came to you asking for help, you would bend over backwards to help him. But because he's your dad, you hold it against him." "Maybe." But it was in that moment that I realized that I didn't see my dad through God's eyes as a broken, sinful, hurting human being. I saw him as a failure because he failed to be the dad that I wanted him to be, that I needed him to be. And it was in that moment as God was speaking to me in my brokenness, with my broken heart, that I could see my dad the way God sees my dad, and I could forgive him once and for all. And I have forgiven my dad. And we have a relationship that, even though it's not close like a father-daughter, we are still connected as best as we can be, above all, and considering everything. Well, this past December, my dad fell and broke his hip. And I hurried down to Shelbyville to be with him for surgery that would fix his hip. And prior to going into surgery, though, we had a conversation. He was fearful. He was afraid. And part of it, he was afraid that I wouldn't let them bring him back if he coded, if his heart stopped. And so I had the opportunity, first of all, to reassure him that if that's not what he wants, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to do what he wants to do as far as his heart stopping or anything. But the biggest thing is I had the chance to tell him that all the stuff from before, from all those years, that was all forgiven. And it was water under the bridge, and it didn't matter anymore in our relationship. And to see the relief and the peace that came over my dad was miraculous, to say the least. Now, is he the daddy that I needed when I was a little girl? No, he'll never be that man. It's too late. But he is my dad, and our relationship is based off who we are now and what God is doing in us now, and it's good. When John shared his testimony last week, like I mentioned, he made a comment about how he has prayed for a lot of things. But the one thing that he prayed for that really stuck with me was the fact that he prayed that God would help him enjoy his parents again. I thought that was so unusual, and then it hit me. That was relational healing. It was restored relationship, and it may not always be the way we picture it, that restoration, or even all at all seeing how, it may not be restored at all, seeing as how other people have free will to reject our attempts at reconciliation. But God is still faithful to heal us. Now, to this point, I've talked about healing being something that we pray for and it happens. With my nephew, it happened that way. With my dad, it happened in that moment, but that moment took years to get to, decades, really. Sometimes it works that way, like with my nephew. Sometimes, maybe even more often, God uses doctors and therapists and caregivers and mentors to bring and pastors and church friends to bring healing and wholeness. See, healing still comes from him through the people who have he has given the knowledge and understanding to do the healing. Sometimes, though, we have to acknowledge that healing doesn't come in the form we ask for. See, Paul prayed 3 times for whatever afflicted him to be removed or healed, and it wasn't. But God used that affliction to demonstrate his power in Paul's life. Sometimes the healing we pray for isn't instant. In fact, probably more often. But instead, it takes time and trust that God is doing a good work in us and for us. Physical wounds may need surgery to begin the healing, and then we need time to heal and complete that. Relationships take intention over time to be restored and made whole. Mental and emotional healing may take many sessions with a therapist, but God is still working to bring wholeness to us. Now, we have to kind of address the elephant in the room, because often when we pray for physical healing, the person we pray for dies, especially when it's something very serious. But whether we consider them healed or not really is a matter of perspective. If we believe that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, then when our loved ones who are in right relationship with Jesus that we have prayed for, when they die, they've experienced the ultimate healing and are with God. That's a hard prayer to pray. And it can be really difficult to work up the courage to pray it. Because the last thing we want is for someone that we love very much who is suffering to suffer. But we also, because we're human and we love these folks, we want them to stay here with us. But if we truly are praying for healing for people that we love, for ourselves even, sometimes we receive the ultimate healing. As I was preparing for this sermon this morning, a passage of scripture kept coming to my mind. It's from James 5. It says this: Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. In our tradition in the Church of the Nazarene, which we're part of, we believe in praying for healing. We believe in anointing with oil for healing. And late last night and really early this morning, I don't think the sun was even peeking up yet when I was up this morning, God had impressed on me to do something a little bit different than what we're used to doing here at Living Hope. We're still going to pray together and receive communion together. But I really felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me that there may be one or two, or maybe more, folks that are here today that would like to be prayed for healing. So as Romeo this morning is going to serve the elements, I'm going to be standing off over here to the side with anointing oil. If anybody would like to be prayed for whatever healing that you're needing, we're going to do this. So while you're welcome to come and take communion and step over, take communion, go back to your seats, only pray for, ask for prayer for healing and not take communion, whatever it is you need from the Lord today, my hope is that you can find some healing and some wholeness that comes from the Lord. And as we're doing this, Missy and Courtney and Lucas are going to be playing. I would ask that while people are being offered prayer, while we're receiving communion this morning, that the rest of us would stay in a posture of prayer and reverence and pray along with the folks that are asking for prayer. You don't have to know why they're asking. Doesn't matter. But you can ask the Lord to touch them where they need to be touched and healed this morning. So in light of that, I would ask that we would close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you are a healing God, that we can ask you for the healing that we need. We can ask in your will, Lord, and you are going to do whatever it is that's best for us. And so this morning, Lord, as we continue this service, continue our worship in prayer and in the receiving of the elements of communion, Father, I pray that you will bless that time. Bless the prayers that are prayed. Bless the cup and the bread, Lord, this reminder of your grace in our lives. This reminder of your body that was broken so that we can find healing and restoration and redemption. Lord, I thank you for the work you're already doing in the folks that are here today. And Lord, even if they aren't quite ready yet to be public about the pain or the wounding that they have carried, Lord, I pray that you would begin to do a healing work in them as you know best, as you understand even better than we do what it is that we need. Lord, move in the way that only you can move. And we pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Now, I would ask you to join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So as the musicians come forward and Romeo, as you come forward to help serve, you are invited to come and take the bread or a gluten-free wafer and dip it into the cup and receive the elements. If you prefer, we do have individual cups you can take and take back with you. Or if also we have cups at the back, if that's a way you prefer to receive the elements. We may want to make sure that there are no barriers to anyone who wants to receive the grace that's offered to us through the cup.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken, and great are you, Lord, it's your breath. the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Great are you, Lord.
And great are you, Lord.
We thank you for your spirit here and your sweetness and in your power and your strength and your gentleness. I thank you for each prayer that was prayed. Whether people came forward or they stayed in their seats, Lord, whatever and wherever they were, I thank you that you are already doing a good work in each and every one. And I thank you for your mighty power, for being such a great God, Lord. We give you all the honor and glory and blessing and praise as we pray these things in your name. And now go with us from this place. May we take your Holy Spirit, your healing spirit with us, Lord, to all the places that we go, to the people that we meet, the people that we live with, the people that we work with. And Father, keep us safe. Bring us back together again. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.